was a joyride which ended in flames, claiming the lives of all five men on board. Speeding was the number one traffic offence in Singapore in the past 3 years. In that same period, there were more than 2,000 speeding-related accidents that led to injury or death.
The speed limit along this stretch of Tanjung Pagar Road is 50 kilometres per hour. But the BMW that crashed was travelling at a much, much higher speed. In this episode of Talking Point, I'm lifting the hoods of our cars, looking at modifications which can endanger lives. I'll also delve deep into the psyche of speed demons and tell you why speeding is much more dangerous than you think.
I'm starting at the crash site. I want to find out, at extreme speeds, can you prevent an accident the moment you realise you're in trouble? I've called on accident reconstruction expert Melvin Lum. Melvin has spent almost a decade investigating traffic accidents.
One of the things regarding speed is that the reaction time is fixed, but you need a greater stopping distance when you're going at a higher speed.
A person driving at 50 kilometres per hour would take 34.9 metres, or the length of about 8 cars, to come to a complete stop. At 90 kilometres per hour, it will take 83.1 metres. That's about the length of 20 cars. And that's in the daytime. At night, this distance increases to 108.1 metres, or about the length of 26 cars. But that's assuming you are able to maintain control of your car.
In that circumstances, what is going to happen is that the car goes into the spin, which is why braking when doing a high-speed turn is never a good idea, because the car will just go off-tangent and just slide. You will have lost any braking or steering input.
So I understand that in the day, our reaction time is about 1.5 seconds versus at night where it's around 2.5 seconds. How often do people make the wrong judgment call?
Steve, I've been doing this for almost a decade, and I can tell you that 98 to 99% of all the accidents that I've taken on are due to judgment errors. People have misjudged the speed of an oncoming car. There are also instances where they realise that the car has already lost directional control and they step on the brakes, which, explained earlier, it would actually worsen the situation.
We all know it's dangerous to speed, but we never think about just how much more dangerous it is when we rev on that accelerator. But the thing is, some cars are just made for speed. So, if I bought a sports car, wouldn't there be that temptation to want to test out its performance?
Cars have become increasingly powerful machines over the years. Most sports cars can go from 0 to 100 kilometres per hour in about 4 seconds. In comparison, a typical sedan car does the same in about 10 seconds. That's more than double the time. How fast a car can accelerate from 0 to 100 is a measure of how powerful it is. I'm on my way to meet someone who has been test driving and reviewing all types of cars for over a decade. I want to know if driving a fast car gives some people a false sense of bravado.
The drivers of fast cars, people who buy sports cars, would generally be driving faster than your average driver. Is that a fair statement?
Yeah, I think that would be quite a fair statement. Sports cars tend to give you that better feedback. I mean, they are equipped for faster driving habits. They're more communicative in that sense. I mean, you sort of get a feel of what exactly you need to do and how to do it, especially when you're handling turns and all that kinds of stuff. So I would say that it kind of makes the driver feels like, you know what, I can better handle these cars. I mean, you buy a fast car, the tendency to want to go faster will always be there.
These really powerful cars, right? But with no real avenue to push them to the limit, what's the point? Who are these people buying these cars?
I don't know, man. Boasting rights, ego, right? If I had a deeper pocket, I would get myself a faster car. I used to be a little bit more irresponsible on the roads, right? Then I finally brought my car up Sepang several times. Mm-hmm. Gave it the beans.
Right.
I felt so satisfied that once I'm back on public roads, I just tell myself, you know what, I've been there, I've done that.
So it's out of your system?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. But most of the guys here don't have that option.
Yeah, unfortunately they don't.
With COVID pushing the brakes on travel, some might turn to illegal alternatives. But with cameras everywhere, where are speed demons going to get their fix?
Where else would they race then?
They were just...
Most car enthusiasts will choose to buy a sports car or even a supercar for various reasons, including the ability to put the pedal to the metal. But fast cars can cost upwards of 170,000 Singapore dollars. As I'm about to find out, one alternative to go faster is to buy a lower-end car and fix it up. Modifying your vehicle simply means changing any part of your car, such as your bumper or your tyres. These don't require any approval from the authorities. There are others that do. For instance, modifying your exhaust system or your engine. I want to find out how much more of a power boost you can get when you modify your car. So I'm meeting Jason Lin. Customers seeking modifications at his garage have increased by 20% in the last 5 years.
Hey, Jason.
Hey, Steven. Good morning.
Specific to power enhancements, what are they doing?
Let me show you some standard cars here.
Jason has prepared two cars of the same make and model. The yellow car is in its original condition. None of its components have been changed, while the red car has been modified to go faster.
The air filter systems, the intercooler hoses, the radiator hoses, also the strut bars, the suspension has been replaced. The brakes as well, the rims, the tyres.
Okay.
All these enhancements, it increases your speed and the response, and also the horsepower rating of the car.
Okay, so the car can go a lot faster.
If you're talking about the standard cars, it's probably doing about a 7.4 second. For 0 to 100, uh-huh. For this car itself, it's probably doing about a 6.8, 6.9 seconds, 0 to 100.
The stuff that's been done to this car, is this legal?
Yes, all the upgrades here is actually considered legal, compliant at the moment.
So sometimes I'm at the traffic light and this car pulls up and it's going, you know, I mean, so based on the sound, can I tell whether the car has been modified?
Why don't I turn on the engine and you listen for yourself
what
the exhaust system will sound like.
It's got that cool suction effect that makes me think that this is a racing car, right?
Yeah, so what happens is that this is the blower valve. It actually protects the turbocharger from the pressure surge. This is more of an aesthetic and a sound purposes.
Okay, then the other car is the one
car
with
is
no
the one,
changes,
no
right?
changes at all, so you can hear it up yourself.
Okay,
all right?
Okay.
Yeah.
Let's have a listen. So when do these modifications or these changes, when do they become dangerous?
The owners, they go straight to the power without upgrading the rails, the brakes and the suspension systems. The handling will be different.
Okay. So if the engine is more powerful, you need, for example, fatter tyres with better grip, you need
bigger brakes. For better braking powers, of course.
So in a way, the car is not as balanced as it was
before.
Yes,
that's right. It will be a bit off balance.
Does that make the car a lot more dangerous to handle?
Yes, it will be dangerous. You can't really control the car well.
So the changes that are being done is up to the car owners. They'll tell you what they want to change.
Yes, of course. But it's up to us to actually advise them on the balance of the car for the complete tuning packages.
Yo, Your car is basically at its optimal state when it leaves the factory floor. The original components like the brakes, the tyres, they're all meant to work together to handle the power of your engine. But if you tinker about on your own and you modify the car, well, you might actually be throwing it off its balance. And an unbalanced car, well, that's just an accident waiting to happen. And we really don't know just how many of such cars could be on our roads.
Exceeding the speed limit by more than 40 kilometers per hour is a serious offense in Singapore. Instead of simply paying a fine, drivers will have to go to court. And if you took part in an illegal race, you face not just the possibility of a fine and a jail term, but also having your car confiscated. 29 people died due to speeding-related accidents last year. Why would anyone risk their life and others for the thrill of speed? It took me a while, but I finally found someone who can give me insights into the underground world of speedsters. Sam, not his real name, is a former adrenaline junkie who got into trouble with the law twice for speeding.
So we're around the Lim Chu Kang area. I know this used to be a very popular racing spot for you guys, right?
Yes.
Why choose this stretch?
It's very straight. Okay. Also, it's away from civilization. But ever since they put up the speed camera, then this kind of racing has gradually gone down.
In fact, we're passing it right now over here on the left.
Yes, on the left you can see the speed camera. They put it here a couple of years back. This will be the starting point for the race, and if there's an event, they'll gather maybe about 100 over cars. We come in different groups.
Okay, okay.
Yeah, so they will just gather, then they'll park their cars at the side, just two cars to flag off. Usually, there'll be one guy at the end.
Uh-huh.
Then we will see which car crosses the line first.
What about today? Are cars still coming down? Do they still race here?
Maybe 5 to 6 around there.
Uh-huh.
Those that are not afraid of the speed camera and authorities, you know.
Where else would they race then?
They'll just do short runs on the highway.
So what about on the expressways when you guys are racing? How fast would you be going?
On a typical night like this, I would say probably above 140. But also, it all depends on the type of car that is actually racing, I would say.
How do you know if some guy wants to race with you?
The guy will just pull up next to you, look at you. And you probably rev a little bit.
He goes vroom, vroom, vroom. Then
it's a sign that you should go.
So let's say now you're on your way home after this shoot, you know, and a car pulls up to you and starts revving, gives you the look. Would you race with him?
I mean, now I wouldn't do it.
Okay.
Due to the authorities clamping down. But if you ask me, probably 5 years ago, I would have gone.
What is the joy in that?
The sense of accomplishment, I guess. And the adrenaline rush that you get.
Yeah, I mean, my adrenaline would rush too because I'd be a little bit scared of, you know, getting into an accident.
When your heart tells you to go, you go.
Have you ever been caught?
In fact, yes, I've been caught and convicted in court. I got a fine and I got a license suspended.
We soon pull up at another racing hotspot.
So now we're at the South Buona Vista Road, also known as the 99 Bends, where people would like to try sharper corners, take their cars to the limit. These gain popularity after the show Initial D.
But I noticed on the road they have these speed strips to sort of force you to slow down, right?
Yeah, people do slow down during the speed stripes, but after the stripes, they'll just gun it. They'll probably take these bends around 70. Weekends, they have some cars, but not many people are playing around here anymore due to tighter enforcement.
So I know you don't race anymore.
Yeah, I don't.
But what made you decide to speak up about it?
I know that it's illegal and it's not right. But I feel that people do it is because we don't have a space to express our interest in motorsports. If government can actually build a casino just to let people gamble, I don't see why they can't actually build a racetrack for motorsports enthusiasts.
Do you think anyone can become a speed demon?
It takes people that are interested in cars.
But just because I appreciate cars doesn't mean I'm a good driver.
Normal people wouldn't have as much exposure or even knowledge as compared to you.
So, in your opinion, racers are actually safer drivers?
Yes.
I'm not sure I agree with Sam that speed demons are safer drivers. Because, well, if you're safe, you won't speed. But it's clear there are people who enjoy the thrill of going really, really fast. And I will soon discover that handling speed requires more than just understanding your car. I've discovered why some drivers would risk everything for the thrill of speed. But do you know what it takes to handle a fast car? Well, I'm going to show you. Since racing on the roads is illegal in Singapore, I'm doing the next best thing. Using racing carts that go up to 100 kilometers per hour at a track designed by an F1 track designer. And I'll be facing off professional racer Andrew Tang.
All right, Andrew, are you ready or not? Who's going to win this race?
I think I'm going to win, man. I got a lot of experience in this, bro.
3, 2, 1, go! Okay, Andrew, so yes, you beat me, I do admit that, but just by a little bit.
Just a bit.
A little bit, you know. How were you able to go so fast?
Obviously, I've been doing this for quite a while. The thing about driving is that a lot of people think that you just sit in the car and turn the steering and you're fast, you know,
yeah.
But there's a lot more skill to it, how you use your braking technique, your steering technique, and the corners, one corner is not the same as another, you know.
Okay.
So you're always applying different techniques for the entry, in the middle, and the exit.
I did a spin once or twice, you know, in the corners. How much of it has to do with how good the driver is?
It's all about technique, you know. We are taught and we practice when the car goes out of control.
Okay.
So that we know what to do, like maybe a counter steer or the way we apply the brakes or accelerate.
But you need to be taught those things. Doing my basic driving theory and practical driving and getting my license does not equip me with any of those skills, right?
Exactly. But when you're talking about going past a certain speed, it requires a whole different kind of training. If I do want to push the limits, it always has to be in a safe space where I'm wearing the right equipment, like our helmets, our racing suits. We have like specific hand systems and everything to hold our neck in place as well,
okay.
Like neck braces. And then obviously the cars are manufactured with like 6-pin safety belts. So
right.
When you hit something, you don't go flying out.
You really need to have the skills to go fast. In fact, during the go-kart race, there were moments where I felt I might crash. I wasn't really afraid as I was in a controlled environment. But it's a different story on the roads.
So cars are built to offer protection. They have crumple zones at the front and the rear, which are designed to do just that, crumple to reduce the initial impact of a crash. So the car also comes with other safety features like seat belts and airbags, which are meant to protect us.
But will these features do the exact opposite when a crash occurs at extreme speeds? I want to find out what happens to my body when I speed and crash. I decided to do just that. Well, not with me inside, of course. And I'm taking my observations to Dr. Teo Lee Sung. He oversees a team of specialists who treats trauma patients, including car crash victims.
This is a normal chest X-ray of an accident victim who was in a relatively low speed injury.
Okay.
Now, on the patient on this side had to be intubated or had to be ventilated immediately upon arrival because he was involved in a high-speed crash.
Okay, all that white stuff.
This white stuff is actually blood within the chest cavity. You can see that we have got chest tubes inside trying to drain out the blood.
Did he survive?
Yeah, he survived his injuries. But of course, the recovery time took a bit longer. He stayed in ICU for several days. Whereas the guy on the right, he was discharged within 24, 40 hours.
So if we compare this guy to that guy, I mean, the difference in speed, how much is that?
In this case, it's about 30 to 40 kilometers difference. This one was about 60.
60, okay.
Yeah, 60, 50, 60. This was going close to about 100. In a car crash, right, we can be traveling at a normal speed, but someone hits us at a high speed from the side. This is what we call a T-bone collision.
Yeah, okay.
Right? You can actually see a fracture of the pelvis here. Now, this causes a lot of pain, a lot of discomfort, and actually can cause a lot of internal bleeding. The solid organs within the abdomen, such as the liver, the spleen, or even sometimes the intestines, they can be torn. If we were to take a box of soft tofu, and if you go shake it like that, and when you open the tofu, look at the state of the tofu, that's exactly what's happening to the liver. When we hit something, or the seatbelt pulls us back, the solid organs are like the tofu within that box. It just goes and does that, and just tears, in that sense. So the faster you are, the greater the force to hold you back. And therefore, that will cause all this to happen. So this is a picture of us opening up the patient. We're heading to stop the bleeding from the from the liver. And this is essentially a belt burn.
The seatbelt.
If I see a patient with this type of burn, it tells me that he was restrained at great force. And I need to worry whether or not there's a neck injury, in that sense, or whether the blood vessels within the neck have been torn. For this to actually cause such a burn within 20, 30 minutes, it must have been quite a severe impact.
So, ironically, the seatbelt, which is supposed to save us, can actually hurt us?
Well, the seatbelt does save you, because without the seatbelt, you may have smashed right against the windscreen. You might not even be making it to the hospital. However, if you're going to travel at very, very high speeds, right, and you are going to crash the vehicle, right, the speed will now essentially render the safety devices not really very useful to you.
I can see why some people love fast cars and going fast, but there are other options to work off that need for speed, such as on a go-kart track. Instead of taking your car out onto public roads, because our cars and our roads are simply not meant for extreme speeds. And most of us tend to overestimate our driving ability as well. So, the next time you want to slam on that accelerator, well, think again, because you're not just endangering your life, but the lives of others as well.